Hey there, Lions fans. It's the M66 North Detroit Lions podcast. Randy and Rich here with you this week. Out here in the fields, waiting for the Sandhill Cranes to fly in for the evening. Their evening.
Oh, they're definitely perch. Here. They're definitely here. Yeah. Every night they're out there. Cackle, cackle, cackle. They are very, very loud birds. Yeah,
great birds.
Forever.
6 foot wingspan.
Yeah, but, you know. Great. It's... They're cool birds. They
are. Made for life.
And one time I was coming home and I saw this very field right here. You know, it's like there was like 10 of them out here just eating off the ground. It's pretty cool.
So. I used to live in a state on the other side of the lake. We does not need to be mentioned, but and the cranes over there were just immense and crazy.
Yeah,
thousands
see,
and thousands.
Yeah. Growing up around here, you know, the 70s and stuff, we never had that. There were never any sandhill cranes or blue herrings or anything like that, you know. Every once in a while, you would see a blue herring, but
there weren't even red-tailed hawks here in the
70s. Right, yeah, and I've got those here down too, you know, so.
But so, hey, yeah, what else has not been here since the 70s?
A championship with the Lions?
Hey, well, no, that was the 50s.
But
maybe a good team to cheer about.
Yeah, well, you know? the Barry Sanders team.
We always cheer, but this is a good team, hopefully. A good, well-managed team, I think. Some of the draft picks, we'll see how how these pan out. Because it is still draft season. It's undrafted free agent season. We'll get into that.
Friday, we have our first OTA.
Rookie
mini camp.
Yep, rookie mini camp. And the schedule comes out Thursday. So we'll have that for you next week. And all sorts of fun will come out of that. Unfortunately, we don't have any international games. Love for the Lions to go back to London or maybe Germany, you know. But
I don't know. I don't agree with that. I think home games is where you win the most games, you know. But you know, if you're gonna it's bad enough going on the road inside the United States, you know, it's travel overseas, you know, you're talking like multiple time zones, you know.
Sure.
So I don't know if I agree with that.
I guess there's some fatigue about that, but the Lions have a fairly easy schedule as far as that is concerned.
Right, but they got hard knocks this year, so
they do.
They're not going to ship off overseas.
No, that's true.
They're not going to do both. So.
Well, that's just preseason, though, isn't it, for hard knocks? They don't really get into the full season, so maybe next year. But yeah, we have a good travel schedule this year. We don't know when the traveling is happening, but we will next week.
Excellent. I didn't know those schedules were coming up that quick. So
yeah, Thursday night on the NFL Network. It's the next big to do, right?
Right on.
Prime time ish.
Well, transactions today.
They did release some people, didn't they?
They had
to make room.
Any idea where we are as far as a number of guys on our roster now?
It is like it's still under 90 by 3, 4, or 5.
Yeah, which is surprising. I thought for sure that was going to be.
Well, they're making room for some undrafted free agents.
Maybe. Yes, they are. So. And today is the day too.
There was one less draft pick than we expected.
Yep. So. They waived linebacker Trevante Beckett, outside linebacker Rashad Berry. Rich, one of Rich's favorite guys because he likes his name. Quarterback Parnell Motley. And then of course Michigan State tight end Matt Sokol also released. They also waived tight end Jared Pinkett today with a injury settlement. So probably, unless we get into some really bad injury issues during the season, we probably won't ever see these guys again. So
that could be.
Hopefully. Yeah, some of them.
Well, no, it's, I mean, hate rooting for the devil there in the cuts, but it's an upgrade for your team.
That's what it's all about. Right? Yep, upgrading what you have, and got to get better and better every year, game to game.
So. Yeah, and yeah, that's so the UDFAs. What do you think there?
Well,
who do they got? Who's the hotbed?
What they got is a lot of guys from Michigan is what they got.
Not the school, but the state.
Right, the state. You know, yeah.
Hometown fellas.
Here's a kid that he's from Muskegon, Cahill Pippleton.
Yep.
Yeah. He played at Central Michigan, but he transferred from Virginia Tech. So he's one of those little guys, 5'7", 165. He was Michigan's high school football player of the year finalist, 1 of 5, in 2015. Yeah. And
he's a great return man for Central too.
Yeah, he's pretty fearless for a little guy, from what I understand, and he can produce and has. So he's got a lot of speed. So with that, he's definitely going to make the 90-man roster. But I'm just wondering now, you know, probably. He could be, like, waiting in the wings to take over for Khalif Raymond, or direct competition for Khalif Raymond this year.
Yeah. Or just backup depth and all that, right?
Right, yeah. And him and then this other undrafted free agent that they got, Josh Johnson, another wide receiver, little guy, 5'11", 179. Lots of high school honors, college recognitions, you know, And I project he'll make the practice squad for sure.
He's out of Tulsa.
Right, correct.
Yeah. There's another guy that was from, Michigan State, Kevin Jarvis, right? The old lineman there.
I got to believe that Kevin Jarvis has got a probable chance of actually making the team this year as your backup right guard behind Vitae. We've got Tommy Kramer in there, you know, and he could be a game-time scratch, you know, because he only got to take, you know, 8 guys to game time, you know. He could be a healthy scratch.
Right.
But, you know, he would definitely, I think, could very easily be that number 9 guy, you know. So.
What other old linemen are we sitting on? We've still got Stenberger on.
Yeah.
He's still hanging on, isn't he?
They've got this one kid that they gave a lot of money to as for an undrafted free agent. Is Abita Eze.
Eze.
Yeah. I've got 2 different heights and weights on it, but I think it's...
I did look it up. It's the tall one.
The tall one. Okay, yeah. Folks, get this. This kid is 6'8", 334 pounds.
I think it's 6'8.5", even.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. He's a left tackle that played at TCU. He transferred there from Memphis. He was projected to be drafted in the mid to late rounds, but he went undrafted, and Detroit picked him up.
There was a lot of old linemen in the third and fourth rounds, just...
Took right
crazy,
off.
Crazy. Yeah. And it made me feel okay, more okay, because I wasn't really okay, but it made me feel better about losing 66, you know, and coming away with Paschal, where, you know, it's, but what came after Paschal was, I guess it was okay. I was surprised, you know, it's just more, receivers that I really didn't like, and old linemen and linebackers, and you know, so it was okay.
Well, yeah, and I think you know, the way we see this draft this year is probably a whole lot different than what this coaching staff sees it. I mean, you know, we've had our run-ins, about, you know, this player or that player, but there's a plan. I guarantee you this coaching staff has a plan for every single one of these guys that end up on the 53. They have a plan. And even even on the practice squad, you know? So yeah.
I mean, that's their job to have a plan. I don't deny that.
It's been hard for...
Don't always agree with the plan.
It's been hard for the Detroit fan to agree with anything that any establishment has had with Detroit Lions.
Right. Trust, you know, has been abused.
Right. But, I'll have to say this, folks. You know, you got to trust this regime because these guys really do know what the hell they're doing. I question their draft, but, you know, like I said, they got to play it.
I don't think the plan included getting exponentially better this season.
Well, because of this draft. I think it did, but I don't...
I mean, it's a foundation. It's building special teams. It's building depth. We got a superstar.
Possibly, two.
Well, yeah, Hutchinson, possibly, you know.
The wide receiver, yeah, definitely. It's
definitely a possibility, yeah. But definitely an if. You know, Hutchinson's the guy you had to take. And then...
I didn't agree with the move, but really don't think that it was a bad one because they really, all they did was give up a third round pick.
Right, 66, like I said.
Yeah, and to move up 20 spots usually costs, especially in the first round, move up 20 spots is usually going to cost you a hell of a lot more than a third round pick.
Yeah, I get the value.
That to me, that, you know, whether you like the pick or not, the value is definitely there. Jameson Williams is on a trend to be a star in the NFL. Yeah. And
you were a Hamilton fan.
Yes, I was.
Yeah, and you could have had Hamilton right there.
You could have. Yeah. That would have been a good place to take him.
And you were a fan of the big defensive tackle.
Davis.
Those were the next two guys after Jameson Williams.
Yeah, see, there you go.
So you know, you got to watch those two guys, see how their careers go. You got to watch Sean, because
I really wanted in the second round.
Watson got traded at, or picked at 34.
That's the guy you wanted.
Yeah, well, I got off the train, you know.
Yeah, I got off the Kyle Hamilton trade.
Yes, you did.
I did.
Yeah, so, yeah, it'd be interesting, you know.
Trayvon Walker is the guy that I wanted so bad. Right. Yeah, that's the guy that we needed, you know.
Well, we don't.
That's who I want!
Right? History will tell us all this stuff, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Fun. Because you don't know. It taking Hamilton, then you didn't necessarily take Kirby Joseph. You could have done something else there.
Yeah, but I Kirby Joseph is somebody that I think we really needed. You know,
he doesn't have blazing speed,
but I don't. He's going to play safety, so he's like the play's going to come to him.
In that scenario where you take Hamilton instead of Jameson Williams, you're not taking Kirby probably because you blew your shot on safety for the year with Hamilton. Or, well, say the next 5 years.
Yeah, or seed at the end of the first round. That's, you know...
Well, yeah, if you didn't trade up.
Right.
Yeah. So there's other options at safety that they could have done. And I know people are going to hammer them on it.
Well,
I kind of am hammering on them. But
you had the fear to go and get it. You said your wide receiver there, what was his name?
Watson?
Watson, yeah. You said that, you know... If Detroit doesn't take him, I fear that we're going to go against him twice a year from here on. Well, Green Bay ended up drafting him.
Yeah.
So, we're going to. Are you as afraid of that now, that pick for Green Bay now, as you were back then?
I am still with the questions in our cornerback room, you know, and the safety room.
Gotcha. Right. You know, yeah. But Okuda's making good progress. He's posted a couple more videos. Right. He seems pretty quick. I don't see him limping or anything.
I'm glad to hear you be positive about it.
Yeah. Maybe. Well, he's on our team. You know, I've bashed the guy enough. You know, now he's on the comeback. I have to root for it. Yeah. And of course I will.
It's a, yeah, like
he's a second round draft pick, for God's sakes. Right. You know?
And like Chase Lucas, the seventh round pick, totally different type of corner, a nickel.
Right. Yeah.
Small guy.
We got some injury issues with a couple of guys that were doing very well last year, at AJ Parker and Jerry Jacobs. So there's going to be like some, you know, some time there in the beginning where, you know, maybe Jacobs, who said today in a text that he might be back quicker than you think, you know.
Yeah.
But AJ Parker had a little bit of a worse injury, and it happened a little later in the season. So don't look for him to be back right away in the beginning of the season. He could come back like, you know, fourth, fifth, maybe sixth week, you know, which, if they decide to bring him back, if they have to, you know, so.
Well, and here's the thought, too, with just Lucas as being a draft pick, that's more capital than they have in guys like Parker and Joseph. How, you know, they didn't risk them being UDFAs.
Right, that's true, but they also, at the same time, are becoming very, very good players that you could deal away and get draft picks for. Like, you know, with,
yeah.
Because if you draft the guy, then you can start.
Capital on him, right? You can trade him and get capital.
Yes, that's where I see AJ Parker. That's where I see, these undrafted free agents that they got, like Jerry Jacobs. You know, yeah.
Oh, you know, no, not Jacobs. Well, you know, don't want to trade Jacobs.
You probably don't. You know, but we'll see what happens. I mean, because we do have a pretty full quarterback room. You know.
Yeah.
And. But yeah, I like the addition of Lucas. I think that's going to be good in the nickel and dime department. You know.
Yeah.
So.
Well, and they've added, Cedric Boswell from Miami of Ohio and Jermaine Waller from Virginia Tech.
Yeah, both those guys.
Both are corners.
Both those guys I have written down as camp fodder.
Yeah.
Those guys are going to end up, you know, first ones cut. Even though the Cedric Boswell, he is from Beverly Hills, Michigan, you know.
Some more Michigan kids. Yeah. Give him a shot.
Yep. Jermaine Waller, let's see. I got him as camp fodder, 6'1", 180. He was a junior.
180, yeah.
Out of Virginia Tech.
Right on.
You know, like I had a lot of college credits, you know, ranks third. In the ACC with 67 interception return yards.
Virginia Tech had a good bunch of kids this year.
Yeah, so, you know, if he really puts the hammer down and James is really Mitchell good, then included. Maybe he makes a practice squad. But I got him right now at this point in time as just camp fodder.
Yeah.
So.
Well, you figured they probably can't sign more than 5 UDFAs at this point. Because they always held one shy last year at 89 for the whole season, pretty much.
Yeah, pretty much. You know,
rarely at 90.
Yeah, and then
I
think
they
did that on purpose, I think, just so in case they do run across a guy they want to sign right now, they don't have to release anybody to do it.
Yeah.
And I think that's a good way of doing it. Now, another guy here, Rich, that I think's got a really pretty good chance of possibly making or beating out that, what's his name, Garrett Griffin, the tight end. The guy that we got right now down as our number two tight end.
So, well, no, he'd be three. Who would be? Mitchell, the
We drafted Mitchell. So he's probably, this guy right here could make the 53 if he beats out Griffin, you know. If not, then he'll probably make the practice squad. Derek Deese Jr., his dad played in the NFL. He's 6'4", 236 pounds. It's, you know, for a tight end, it's right on the bottom side, you know, but that's not bad, you know. He needs to put on a few more pounds and be good.
He's got about 50 pounds on me.
He finished the season as the number 6 tight end in the nation for receiving yards, 723. He also had 4 touchdowns, 46 catches. And like I mentioned before, his dad played in the NFL. His career stats, 34 games, 20 starts, 85 catches, and get this, 1,142 yards.
Nice. So, we are lacking in the tight end department.
Yeah, so this kid can catch, you know, with 1,100 yards, you know, almost 1,150. So, yeah, those are great stats for a college tight end. We'll see if he can transform that into the pros, that he could probably, you know, maybe beat out that Griffin kid. We'll see what happens.
Yeah,
could maybe he'd make the team. If not, definitely on the practice squad for sure.
Yeah, well, they went into the season with two tight ends last year. So we'll see what happens this year.
Yeah, right on.
Yeah.
But, aside from Kevin Jarvis, the Michigan State, he definitely got a shot at the 53. We got to move up here. They got this kid from Ferris State that they picked up.
They're another local kid?
Yeah. Zian Obeid. O-B-E-I-D. Zine, I don't know, Zein.
Yep.
You know, so Zine, Obeid, 6'4", 305. He's got really good reviews as a Division II standout, one of Michigan's most dominant offensive linemen. Michigan being the state of Michigan.
The state of Michigan, not the school of
correct.
Michigan.
Yeah, very good.
Michigan State.
He could very easily make the practice squad. He's got intangibles. I think Jarvis could win that guard spot. What's the other guy's name? Will Holden? Is it the other?
Sounds right. Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, we could use an upgrade on some of those old line guys.
Right. Yeah. This kid could be on the practice squad. You know, so. So, and then Eze, you know, for sure, could easily make the 53 or the practice squad for sure, too, you know. These are the guys they gave all the money to.
Right.
What did you say?
I think Eze got $170,000 and Kevin Jarvis got $150,000.
Yep, and that's a lot of money for an undrafted free agent.
Yeah, they didn't draft any old linemen. So, you know, like any cornerback, you know, I don't think they're gonna bring a cornerback on as an undrafted free agent at the moment, you know, because they drafted him. You're gonna bring him on.
It's a pretty
choked
full,
up,
you know.
But even if it's not healthy, it's kind of choked up.
Yeah. So when does training camp start? Or this
I don't have dates in my head.
What the heck's it called?
Rookie minicamp.
Yeah, rookie.
It's this weekend. We are recording Tuesday, so today's
the 10th, like the 14th, 15th, or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, because that's when they get to bring in, they're going to bring in some other guys from to work out on the 14th through the 16th, so that's probably right in that mini camp. One of those guys is Connor Sampson. Did we bring this up last week?
I don't think so.
He's a quarterback, you know. Out of Western Illinois.
Oh, that's right. You texted me about him.
Yeah, I did. Yeah.
I'm like, nah.
Well, I don't know, man. This kid, he's from Michigan, too.
Right.
All right.
Give him a shot.
6'3", 215, pocket guy, you know. Yeah. He was 311 in last season. He was 311 of 477, which is 65.2% completions, you know. For 3,182 yards and 22 touchdowns, he had 14 interceptions. He was sacked a shitload of times because he had a really shitty offensive line. 48 times this guy got knocked down. So
all he needs is a good line, and he'll be Brett Favre in no time. Right?
Well, he hangs out in the pocket, you know, really well, waiting for these guys to set. He steps up well. Okay. His escape ability is really well. Just his old line really sucked, you know. So, and I got this from Dosa Dion, you know. He's talking about this kid. He's pretty excited about him. He says he's got excellent pocket awareness. And he has a pretty good accuracy. Consistent passer. These are just some of the comments that he was writing.
Right.
Just racking off while I was...
So that this quarterback then would make, out of all these like UDFA guys, right?
Right.
That would make 11 offensive guys, 2 cornerbacks, and a defensive tackle. So what the hell are we doing on the bottom end here? If our defense sucks so bad, what are we doing running through all these
Just think about this, you know. Were you really happy with Tim Boyle last year? I know I wasn't.
I have no problem with losing games with a backup quarterback until we get the team underneath.
Well, the thing is, though, if you could, this like we mentioned earlier, Rich, the name of the game is upgrading your talent, making sure that the guys that you have are upgrade from the guys you had the year before.
Right.
All right. And this kid could, but they will determine that during his workout, whether or not this kid can beat out Tim Boyle. If he can, then they'll probably release Montez and bring him in, okay?
Yeah. We already skipped one bet tonight at the kitchen table. I don't know if we want to make another one.
No, I'm not saying anything about this kid. I'm just saying is he's from Michigan. He played well for Western Illinois, you know. Sure. So
Really wide enough to have an East and a West?
He was one of Detroit's 30 pre-visits, too. So
there you go.
Yeah.
Good. So do you have anything on the lone defensive tackle, Demetrius Taylor?
I do. I got a lot on that kid.
Okay, that's good. Because we need some help on the defense, damn it.
Right. Okay, but he's a little undersized, too. Of course. Yeah, 6'1". You know, 291 pounds.
Oh, Lord. Okay. Well, UDFA, right?
Yep. Right up. Yep. 22-year-old senior. He was number 4 in Appalachian State history in career sacks with 26.5. Played in 65 career games. Only missed his first game of his freshman season.
Okay.
And then
Over his own shoe.
Yep, and then from there on, he made 37 straight starts to end his college career.
Okay, nice. Yep. That's impressive.
He won the National Defensive Player of the Week, first player from the FBS this millennium with 2.5 sacks, 2 forced fumbles, fumble recovery for a touchdown, and an interception all in the same game.
Nice.
Yep.
I have read a lot about these kids that they've drafted being kind of just around the ball and taking the ball away and being good at stripping.
Yeah.
These are
Dan Campbell guys. You know, it doesn't matter how big the school is. If this guy is working really, really hard to get better, that he wants him on his team.
Yeah. If you've got short arms and you still get the ball, I'm good with it, I guess.
Yeah.
If it works.
Yes, yeah. He totaled 136 tackles, 26.5 sacks, 45.5 tackles for loss, 5 forced fumbles, 3 block kicks, 10 passes defended, and 1 interception. In 5 seasons, Appalachian State went 52-14 with 3 Sun Belt titles in 17, 18, and 19. And then Sun Belt East Division title in 21 and had 4 bowl wins, 17, 18, 19, and 20. This kid...
Did I forget to mention he went to App State?
Yeah. Nope, I think I got that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, dang, Appalachia right. State, you know, yes, so... Yes. But, I like this kid a lot. I do. He's just a little undersized, but that might be the reason why he's getting around everybody and getting all this stuff, so...
Yeah.
So we'll see how that works out. You know, I don't see them, you know, releasing him. I think he comes back on a practice squad possibly too.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah.
So.
But it is curious that they aren't throwing more weight at the defense.
Well, I've got a theory on this too.
I guess the draft was defensive heavy, right?
It's all about speed, Rich. You know, they're thinking if you got these big bulky guys. You know, the way I see it.
Well, you know, if you get around them, the numbers of UDFAs that are offense.
Oh,
as opposed to defense.
Right.
You know, but it's the opposite of the draft. Right? The draft has more defensive players in it, so that's where they're.
They're trying to upgrade in places that they think they need to upgrade, and that's.
I wonder.
There's many different ways of doing it.
There's probably only going to be room for two on the 53 tops, right?
Yeah, that's the way I see it too. I think the majority of these guys basically they'd end up on a practice squad, but you know, like I said, there's going to be a couple of cuts here too. Like they're just there for camp fodder
But time and time again, we've seen the guy the UDFA that gets the most money. Just never be seen again.
Right? Yeah, well, yeah, you know, and there's been a lot of knock on Izay, too, because, you know, even though he was projected to actually be drafted, he wasn't. I guess, from what I've heard, that he's kind of had a bad time at the combine, you know? Right,
could be. Isn't that what, like, if you're, like, in court and you're having discovery, it's like, isn't that what just happens to these guys? They have been discovered as what they are, and it's just a filter, you know. You go through the off season and the draft and or the combine and the draft and
right on.
Now UDFAs and you discover what a prospect is and why he's was talked about and now he's not, or you see that happen quite often.
Oh, I know. Yeah. But you know, I think Eze is probably, once he gets out of the spotlight of all the media that was at the combine, that he's probably, you know, going to be a little bit more at ease with himself. No joke intended. Well, maybe it was.
Maybe it was.
Yeah, but
you could have stopped it.
So. I could have, but I didn't. Yeah, I don't write the jokes, folks. I'm the one that just takes all the chances. That's a famous line from our buddy Tommy Tropic.
Nice.
Another Northern Michigan guy.
Yeah, we might be hearing him speak a few words here this spring.
Yeah, I've been trying to get him to come back on the show because he's doing a lot of festivals around the area and around the state. It would get you all caught up on the Tommy Tropic report, you know. So, I don't know, there's a couple of guys on here that the running back, Greg Bell, the only running back that we even looked at this year, but you know, he runs a lot like
San Diego State.
Right. He runs a lot like Reynolds, like Craig Reynolds.
Okay.
And
a type, is that what you're saying?
6 foot. He's a little tall, you know. 6 foot's a little tall for a running back. 200 pounds, you know, could add a little bit of weight there.
We didn't get our 220 that we wanted this year, did we?
No, we did not. But he had 245 attempts and got 1,091 yards. Averaged 4.5 yards a carry and ended up with 9 touchdowns. Nice. Which his longest one was 55 yards.
Didn't we draft a San Diego State fullback a few years back?
Yeah, we did. I think he went to Chicago after he left Detroit and had a pretty good career. I don't think he's there anymore.
No.
Yeah. I can't. Say what his name was because I can't remember that far back.
Yeah, out my window too. So
so I like this kid Greg Bell. You know, I think he could very easily end up on the 53 as Iggy Buike's replacement Iggy could end up back up on the practice squad. You know, because I don't think they're going to give up totally on Iggy. I think Iggy, they'll make room for him on the practice squad. Yeah.
It'll be interesting, too, with the tight ends, and you wonder, maybe they go with a third this year and have some competition on the roster. And so that may...
I think they definitely are.
Give up a running back spot?
Well, I think they definitely are because, you know, TJ Hockenson might not be back next year.
And maybe Iwabuike's returning ability... gets replaced by a corner or something.
Someone else. He's like only go with like three running backs and a fullback, and then I don't see that.
Three tight ends. You got to have Williams on your roster as a receiver, even though he's hurt.
Right.
So that takes up a spot.
I say the only way they can do that is if they go 25-25. 25 offense, 25 defense, instead of like going 26 defense, 24 offense.
Right.
So, yeah.
That's a whole other podcast.
Yeah, exactly.
In itself.
Exactly. Yeah.
But, yeah. So, I just wonder these things. If you do get rid of Igwebike with like Greg Bell, I don't know if Greg Bell's a returner, right?
Yeah, see, I don't.
He doesn't have that sort of.
I'm not so sure if bio. I didn't see anything in his bio that said that. So.
Yeah. So like Khalil Pimpleton, wide receiver is more, but you got Raymond, so.
Well, Raymond did, yeah, but I think Pimpleton does it too. So and.
Yeah, he's a good returner. Yeah, but does he make the team though? As far as skill position players, wide receiver, running back,
he might need somebody to play behind Raymond because Barlow's gone. You know, so.
Right. Well, that's where.
Well, Barlow's defense, isn't he? Wasn't he?
Dean, yes.
Dean Barlow's defense. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Tom Kennedy, that's what I was thinking.
Kennedy.
Tom Kennedy is probably, you know, he was like on the team, off the team, on the team, on the team, on the team. Healthy scratch.
Could be his replacement.
Yeah, that's
on the practice squad.
That very well could very well be. You know,
not
so.
That I'm, you know.
But you know,
him out the door,
we did get another tight end though. We did pick up Noah Giving.
Oh yeah,
from Southeast Louisiana. Now remember a while back here, I was pretty pumped up about this quarterback Cole, what the hell is his name? Cole. He plays for. He played for in the Senior Bowl.
You like that kid Glass? I remember that.
Yeah, this was the. I got it somewhere. Yeah.
Cole Kmet's a tight end.
No, it was the quarterback. The quarterback, the guy that was 6'8", like a 360 pounds.
Jeez.
Yeah, well, this was his quarterback.
Oh, right on. Every quarterback's got a wide receiver.
Right.
If you're coming out in the draft as a quarterback, someone's there catching your balls.
This is a tight end, though. This is a tight end. And, you know,
exactly. Someone's there catching your balls.
Yeah.
It's a tight end. It's a wide receiver. It's a something.
He had 6 touchdowns in 56 receptions and 572 yards. He averaged 10.2 yards a catch. You know, and you know, Todd and I talked about him. Oh, yeah, and another thing. This kid's from Berkeley, Michigan.
Another Michigan kid.
Another Michigan kid.
So yeah, they're really harping on the local kids, and that's great.
Yeah,
they may not make the Lions squad, but they're at least getting in there.
Yeah, and
they're
it's getting culture. Better. It's the culture.
Another scout may see him doing well and bring him over.
It's pretty cool. I mean, they're looking at a lot of homegrown kids and. So they leave high school and they get offers from like, you know, Virginia Tech or other places, you know, they work out there or they don't. And if they don't, then they usually transfer, you know, to a smaller school where they, you know,
the portal's a crazy thing now.
Yeah, Mel Tucker made it famous. Yeah. Or made the transfer wire and the. But yeah, things we got going on in the NFL are a whole lot different than they were like 30, 40 years ago for sure. But, you know, other than that, I'm not so sure if there's too many more guys on this team here's a wide receiver, Corey Sutton, that we picked up as an undrafted free agent.
Yeah, you know? Another App State guy.
Yeah.
Another offensive dude.
6'3", 208 pounds, that's perfect size, you know, 24 TD catches. And 30, career games. 35 career games. He had knee surgery after season-ending injury in 2019. He opted out at 20. 21, started 13 games, missed the bowl game. Yeah, candidate for the Mayo Clinic Comeback Player of the Year. I'll tell you a little bit more about his knee injury there.
It's got some weight to it, yes.
Yeah, famous. But, you know, he had 100 yards in four games and scored like a touchdown in six of his last 10 games. So,
yeah, he's got ability, but yep. Same thing. There's reasons that he didn't get drafted.
He finished third in school history for touchdown receptions with 24. And six re. It was 2,278 yards with receptions tied for eighth.
You're having trouble reading your own notes there.
I just got to write about more. Yeah, it's like blah, 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 blah. But anyway. Yeah. So that about does it for our
undrafted kids,
free agents. Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, still wrapping my head around the whole process here.
We got two of our draft picks signed today this week.
That's true. Yep, the first and the last.
Yeah. Hutchinson signed a 4-year deal. $35.7 million contract. You get $23.15 million. You get signing bonus. So that's his guaranteed money right there. He's got to work for the rest of it. So, and then Detroit also signed Chase Lucas.
Lucas.
The quarterback. We signed him into a very full quarterback department. But like you said, probably nickel-dime guy.
We need to take the back off of the cornerback name.
Quarters.
Just
quarters.
Corner. Just corner.
Good point, Rich. Yeah.
It's too confusing.
Yeah, Lucas got a 3-year deal, $3.75 million. That's pretty good money for a seventh round draft pick, was he?
Yeah. I mean, the price has gone up just like about every other price in the book here.
Yeah, even our drafted free agents are getting a bill, you know, or what'd you say, 100? No, it's 150,000, right? Yeah.
Yeah. But they had the money to spend, so that's good. Randy's having a coffee fit.
Yeah, whiskey went down the wrong hole there. Holy mackerel.
It'll do that.
Yeah. Wild Turkey 101, folks. Yeah. It gets you if you ain't paying attention.
So, who were the five that they released again? Let's hit me with that.
All right,
glossed over that in the beginning because it wasn't.
Trevante Beckett for one. He was one of last year's undrafted free agents. Undersized linebacker, had a lot of speed but couldn't stay healthy.
I think if any of these guys that he's the surprise probably of. You know, other than the fact that they aren't valuing linebackers.
Right. Rashad Berry, I'm kind of surprised at, but not, because although he did play well, but it's just a very full room right now.
Yeah.
And I think he's more of a linebacker than he is an edge guy, you know, so.
Well, yeah, and that brings up... James Houston, you know, is he a linebacker or an edge guy?
Right.
6'1" or whatever the heck he is.
Exactly.
You know? So,
Parnell Motley, you know.
Motley.
Tell us what you know about Parnell Motley.
I know his name.
He's got a great name.
Yeah, that's all it was. Yeah. It crossed between Parnell McPhee and Motley Crue. I mean, come on.
I don't really remember him playing too much. I mean, I think he got in there a few times, but I don't think he really did enough to impress anybody too much. So, out the door. And this is one I mean, you know, it doesn't surprise me that Matt Sokol from Michigan State, you know, got let go, because our tight end, I mean, we drafted one, and then we got one of the undrafted free agents. So Matt was on the team before, you know, they released him then. And then I think he came back and got hurt. So then they signed him this year to a undrafted, or to a tender.
Futures
tender.
Yeah.
And then now they're just going to release him because we got in the draft and the undrafted free agents. So.
Yeah. And that's where it's hard to tell if it's, in my head, if it's 85 or 87 or a guy's left on the roster right now.
Because right.
Injuries and things, but the tight ends, Tomopo and Bryant, you know, they're still hanging around, but I don't know if they're necessarily
right,
talented.
Right, you know, I kind of think Bryant might be packing his bags too.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, even though he did play,
but
you
it
know,
seems they're a do right organization. They're going to pay for their stuff until they're healthy, is my thinking.
Right. Yeah.
You know, yeah, well, they may never play again, but at least they're healthy as can be.
Right. Well, you know, that's the case with Jared Pinkney being healthy. You know, they waived him today too with an injury settlement. So.
Yeah.
Yep. You know, and Hunter Bryant, you know, I don't know if I mentioned that. He got released a while back,
okay,
too.
Okay, he did. I just forgot
about
that.
Yeah, because and he had an injury settlement, too, because he had a really bad injury.
Yeah, he tore everything.
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 So, yeah,
everything,
he's probably
everything.
Lucky he's still walking, you know, so... He probably won't be back in the NFL again. He's probably going to go...
Right.
Sell cars or something, you know, or you know,
insurance,
knee parts.
Oh.
All right, yeah, okay, that was bad, but still, hey, these work really good.
Not even a rim shot for that.
This is gonna get worse. I mean, you know, they're gonna let go of some guys probably this year that we probably. Don't want to see go, you know.
Yeah, well, that hasn't happened yet, but you're right, it could. You wonder other O-line or D-line guys, Bryant.
That's the guy we're just talking about, yeah.
Well, the other Bryant, not the tight end Bryant, the D-line Bryant.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's who I was, Austin Bryant.
Well, I was talking about the tight end.
Hunter Bryant, yes. Yeah. He didn't even really get a chance to play. I mean,
right.
Hunter was there.
Yeah,
maybe.
Well, you said he got released, so I thought you knew who I was talking about.
Well, it's kind of difficult to keep track of both Bryants. We've been proving that throughout the podcast in the last few years.
Hey, that's our own problem.
Yeah, which Bryant are you talking about? You know,
well,
so
well,
yeah, so now we don't have to worry about that anymore because they're probably going to both be gone this year.
It does feel that way.
Kind of feels that way.
One way or the other, they're both probably out of here. Yeah, they just went heavy on edge.
They did.
And they it seemed to want to change it up a bit.
Well, you know, right from the very beginning, you're kind of wondering, you know, you needed to either fix the front on your rush or you needed to fix the back on your pass protection, you know, safety's quarters, you know?
Yeah.
You know, and it seemed to me they, you know, it's obvious that they put more into the front, into the rush, get to the quarterback.
Well, they didn't
pressure
fix
on the quarterback.
It. They seemed to have blown it up, in a sense. You know, to me, which is fine. It's a rebuild,
right?
You know? Well,
they drafted heavy for depth too. That's
yeah.
The thing. You know, it is.
But they're all slight, slenderish, smaller. Not what we were expecting. That's all, you know, we were hoping more for
beefy guys.
Walker.
Yeah.
Obiketti or Mafe, or, you know, those were the talks of the town, especially Walker up top. But we didn't get a chance to get Walker.
Even at number two.
It did come out that they would have taken Walker had he been available.
Yes. Yep. I read that
right.
For sure.
Speaking of what could have been or whatever,
yeah,
you know,
but you know, I it's just going to see is what the difference is. That's where I'm gonna, you know, evaluate Hutchinson is what between what he does versus what Walker does. You know,
right.
So
just like the safety thing.
Yeah, because I mean, Houston probably is a little bit behind in their program with all the BS they've been going through with their quarterback in the last, well, their ex-quarterback here in the last how many years, you know, so. Oh,
it feels like years, yeah.
Right, so my guess is that that burden has been lifted off Houston, and I think, you know, they like their quarterback that they got. Yeah,
Davis Mills.
Davis Mills, they really like him. So.
He did all right. He was right up there. So.
Yep. So they're going with him, and
yep.
They got to get their defense bolstered now. You know, so
yeah.
Houston had a pretty decent draft. I mean, well, you know, Tybalt always tells with these things. You know, you can't judge a draft. You know, right away you can't. You can speculate, just but with the Lions, say this
you
or that.
It all over the place. You know, we had last week. We talked about the NFL.com that had the Lions at B+ on a ABC scale,
right?
And they were the lowest grade in their NFC North grades, right? And other teams or other graders have Lions at a C+. Other graders have Green Bay at a C+.
The biggest point that the hometown media guys, you know, the beat writers, are always trying to make is nobody from the national media stuff is paying attention to what's going on in Detroit. You know, they're
personnel wise, yeah.
Right? They're watching it, but
they love the sound bites.
They're not believing it, coach. Though. That's the thing. They just don't.
No, they
don't believe.
They're
it.
They're not putting it into practice,
right?
Yeah.
So that's where.
Well, that's why everyone had them taking a quarterback this year in their mock drafts.
Malik Willis, yeah,
it too. Let's do it.
How far back did he fall? Huh?
Yeah, right.
So you know,
and that's such a gross misunderstanding,
right,
of what is happening.
Well,
I mean, you may not have liked the draft, but it still could have been a hell of a lot worse.
Yeah, it could have. You know, it really could have. But, you made the point here, I think, last week when you said that, you know, a lot of these guys are undersized, they're short, you know, it's like, what's going on? You know, and my theory, like I think I said this earlier, is that's the way it's going, that the league is going faster. And the way you can get faster is to have these smaller guys who can go that fast, you know. You get a big man that can run fast, you got like a diamond in a gem, you know, or a giant diamond in a rough, you know. So
yeah.
And so if you, you know.
Right. And that's what I'm getting at, is where they've blown it up,
right?
They didn't just fix it.
You know,
fixing it would have been getting another Trey Flowers,
right?
You know,
yeah with an old guy that's like on the verge of retirement.
Well,
you know?
Okay, a
overpaid
rookie Flowers, right? You know, someone that is just a bull and a power.
And they just may have that in Hutchinson.
Well, he's different. He's not Trey Flowers. They're like I said, they blew it up. They didn't fix it. They didn't just come in and get the same thing and redo what
right.
was here.
So is he a defensive end or is he an edge guy?
Yes, he's a defensive end.
Or
an edge.
Edge, defensive end, or an edge. Does he put his hand in the dirt or does
both.
He stand at two?
He's going to do both.
From both sides?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, but he's,
I don't want to see him inside because I really don't think at 200, what is it? 270, 260 something?
276?
263, I think, is what it is. He's going to get pushed all
paper
over
notes.
The hell. I mean, inside. I really don't think he can.
Well, it depends
do it.
On the down and distance and the team you're playing. If you're going against the Ravens and they've got Fletcher Cox and Jordan Davis in the middle, you're probably not sending him in the middle.
Yeah, he's 265. You know, he's 6 foot seven. Granted, that's a long body to bend. You know, coming on that edge or defensive end.
Yeah, he's not a big bender.
But
that's understood.
He's 265, which is, you know, he's an edge guy. You know, you put him inside, he's just gonna get handled. That's all there is to it.
Well, that is a worry.
Yeah.
You know, but
that's been my whole point with him.
Yeah.
You know,
but that's just don't put them. If they don't put them there, it's not a word.
Yeah, exactly. Right? Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And you know, because that was one of the things, the selling point that the media, like what we brought up before, was saying about Aiden Hutchinson is he could play every position in the line.
Right.
Yeah, he could do that. Just because he does that only in college. Right. Like you get to the pros, and you're talking 335-pound center with, you know, like 340-pound freaking guard. You know, you're not going to do it, buddy. Sorry, I don't care how fast your first step is.
Right.
Sorry.
Yeah, you know. But if you're playing on, you know, a speedy team that has like-sized fellas,
right,
an undersized defense like we do, it's not, you know, or offensive line in a position that's faster.
He can be successful.
A pass-blocking offensive line that's smaller and not 360 and 80, you know. So then he would work inside.
Yeah.
And that's possible. So,
well, if he could put on some weight,
the
boy needs to eat more potatoes.
Faster than Jordan Davis, well, maybe not Jordan Davis. He runs a Fletcher Cox because he's older.
He runs a 4.75 40. He's a 4.75 40.
Yeah. You can do stuff inside of if you're fast. Yeah. Just because the big guys are slow.
Paschal is 4.77. That's not so bad yet.
Right. And that's the dude that I think they're planning on putting inside more than Hutchinson.
Right.
So.
But he's, you know, he only still
can handle the weight.
He still only weighs 278 pounds.
Right. And that's something else that I brought up last week, I think, is I don't like drafting guys that you have to change. You know, it's like, okay, Paschal will work inside if you just put weight on him.
Right.
Well,
then he's going to lose.
That's not a guarantee.
It's a possibility he loses his speed, you know.
Right.
How strong is the kid, you know?
There's no guarantees there.
Yeah.
So,
for real.
Yeah. But we haven't talked about Rodriguez, the lone addition really to the linebacker out of all this. No UDFAs in the linebackers.
He's an undersized guy at 5'11", 225.
Going to be a big special teamer from what they say, so.
Yeah, they traded back to get him, so, you know, they just traded back. So he runs a 4.5 240, so yeah, that's pretty speedy for a linebacker, you know. So I don't know what they got planned for him, you know. Are they gonna move him edge, pass defense, you know, maybe, you know?
I think he's just a good run tackler, isn't he? More just that kind
is
of
he,
deal.
Is he like I don't know. I mean, really. I don't really follow Oklahoma State that close,
a core. I think he's going to be a core special teamer, and they'll bring him along in the linebacking crew. But the linebacking crew is small, and
Anzalone and
Barnes,
and the new guy,
Dion,
but he's not the
It feels like a new guy because he never played.
Yeah, he's at a second year of 2-year contract. So
yeah,
I think he makes a team. I do. I really do. You know. So
yeah. It's all injury things, right? If he can
stay healthy.
Some guys just trigger that sentence. Let's just put it that way. Some guys yeah, deserve to have that if he stays healthy after their name.
Yeah. If he stays healthy, yeah, that right after knee injury.
Yeah.
Well, I guess
it's been a good hour.
Yeah, the Sandhill Crane's kind of shushed down. I haven't heard one in a while.
Yeah. They may still be eating. We got done a little early tonight.
It's kind of hard to cackle when you got a bowl full.
Out there ripping up the cornfields and, you know, upsetting people and upsetting the farmers. There's a trade-off. Not everything good is great.
So next week we're hoping to get Rocky out here because, you know, mushroom season is here. We're just waiting for the rain. We don't have the rain. Hopefully we get some Sunday. Then we go out in the woods looking for mushrooms. We'll probably find Rocky.
Yeah, then we'll start cooking them up.
Yeah.
And so for this week, it's been the M66 North Detroit Lions podcast at M66NDLP on Twitter. And Randy's at WoodenTunes2, the number 2 on Twitter. Myself at Piss Poor Packers. Find us there. We don't do a whole lot other than look at other people's things. We don't force
We're just on Twitter.
Yep.
Letting us go.
Yep. So until next time, watch for deer, one pride.
Hey, go Lions.